Hello and welcome to the Deeper Podcast, everyone. It's so exciting to be here with you today. My name is Austin Slater, and I'm just so thrilled and humbled to have you joining us on this new podcast series. This is a brand new thing here at Friendship Christian Reformed that we're trying out. And this is actually the second episode of Deeper. The first one from last week, it was so good. It was so wise, so mature that we decided we needed to kind of keep it to ourselves, treasure it in our hearts for all eternity, never to be released. Either that or the audio quality may not have been usable, whichever you prefer to believe. We're really excited to get back on track and to learn and grow and work together. This is the Deeper Podcast, and we're calling it that because we really want a chance to get deeper in our wisdom and understanding and knowledge of Christ and how we just live out that calling as Christians in the world. We also want to have an opportunity to talk with the pastors here at Friendship so that they can have an opportunity to go deeper into the content for their sermon from the last Sunday morning. Because there's always a lot more content, a lot more context, a lot more information, and a lot more learning that could go into most sermons that we don't usually get because in our day and age, we've kind of limited ourselves to 25 to 30 minutes for a sermon, and there's always a lot more that we can learn. So I know I'm super excited for this opportunity, and I hope it's good for any of you who may be listening. And I'm joined today by Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, welcome to Deeper.
Yeah, thank you, Austin. It's good to be here with you.
Yes.
Like you said, last week was a bit of a false start, as it were. But, you know, if someone was really interested and wanted to listen through some of the tough audio of it, there was good content there.
The wise material and some rough quality. But we're excited for this. So as we kind of get started, I'd love it if you could recap the sermon from last week for us. Where did we read from? What was the general message?
Yeah, so we were in Mark 11. It's kind of the second week in a row we've been in Mark 11 in the season of Lent. And we were from Mark 11, starting at verse 12, going through verse 26, which is the story of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem from Bethany, and he's going to go to the temple and cleanse it there, but he encounters a fig tree first along the way in the Gospel of Mark, and seeing no figs on the tree, curses it, and then he goes to the temple and cleanses the temple, and then on the way back, or actually the next morning, they see the fig tree withered as well. And then there's some application Jesus gives at the end of that. But as we talked about it Sunday morning, really the main piece we were saying is that Jesus is communicating and making a statement about what he has come to deal with, and to deal with sin in specific, which of course, especially in Matthew's gospel from the very beginning, we were told, you'll name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And so we see him confronting that, and of course we'll eventually see how he faces that down and defeats it through the cross. But yeah, that was kind of the main image and focus that we had.
Yeah, well, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, Jesus came to deal with our sin, which was so not what the Jews of that time expected from their Messiah. You know, they expected this Messiah to come and deal with the Romans and deal with that imperialist occupying force. And it's just a fascinating perspective shift to deal with for them, especially.
Yeah, I think you're right. I probably underestimated by us, you know, these couple thousand years later, just how, if we were in the same spot, it might have been difficult for us too to understand what was going on and how this was different. So,
right. So one thing that you pointed out in the service that I thought was really kind of fascinating, and I'd love some more input on from you if that's possible.
we'll see.
was about the, you know, when Jesus came to the temple and he's cleansing the temple. He comes, and the work the Pharisees were doing in the temple was actually somewhat important business. It was very practical, you know, the daily functionings of the temple. So, you know, enabling the sacrifices, helping people to avoid idolatry by the use of what money they were using and whose symbol was on that, and really getting ritually ready to worship Yahweh. And part of the issue for them was that in their business of doing religion, although that's important, it really distracted from worship, which I thought was really incredibly powerful to kind of wrestle with personally. I was wondering if you could just like expound on that a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I think we tried to make a little bit of that comment on Sunday morning too, that what was going on was very normal, especially during the feast, because, you know, Jerusalem might have expanded, depends who you read, you know, 4 or 5 times as many people. So there's a huge need, and people are traveling. They maybe don't have the animals. They got to exchange money. That was part of the rules. You couldn't, like you said, pay the temple tax with, oh, here's my Caesar coin. Like, no, that's not going to work.
Right.
So, yeah, there was exchange that had to go on, some of that work. But often it would take place outside the temple. They would have people even camped out outside the city because the city limits couldn't hold them. And so often they would do those kind of things out there. But it seems like there was more and more push for convenience, right? And let's just do it here. And they're coming here anyways. And Jesus really pointing out, and we noticed this probably was in the court of the Gentiles, and this was their spot for worship. They couldn't go any further into the court of the women or any closer. And so this was supposed to be their spot to pray and to worship. And it's maybe hard to imagine, you know, all these animals and just the hustle and bustle of really a marketplace where you're supposed to worship, and how that would take away from the intention, the intended purpose,
right?
Focusing on the Lord, being able to be in his presence. That's what the temple's supposed to do, right? To really usher us into the presence of God. That's, of course, what Jesus does now. But
right. Well, and I can't imagine how that would blow over here and now. You know, if we were trying to make our space available for everyone to worship, and, you know, we had a farmer's market, you know, in the sanctuary while we were doing worship, I think that's a really profound thing to understand how disturbing this was, especially for the Gentiles.
Right. And I think you get into some of the cultural things. You mentioned that even before. For some of the Jews, some at least had a picture, maybe not on their best days, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to get rid of all these Gentiles, especially the Romans, like you mentioned. So they had the thought of, like, oh, there's going to be a greater welcoming in. The church would struggle with that for quite some time, of course, even in the future. But, and I think rightfully so, churches have wrestled, you know, even modern day, right, with what's appropriate as you come to, you know, a church building or wherever a worship space is for kind of marketplace things, right? We got a coffee shop. Okay, can you have that in the narthex area? What does that look like? You know, here at Friendship, that's not something we have, but a lot of other churches maybe have something like that, or you have a bookstore. You know, what does that look like? And I think you're right, like the main focus, even as Jesus was pushing, like, this is supposed to be the place where you worship the Lord. And even this whole system is set up so that you can be cleansed to do that and come into his presence. And I think as we have worship, and you and I help, you know, have a part of leading that, we want to have a sense, of course, and do a good job ushering people into the presence of God. And I think even as Paul writes in his letters later about worship, and even talking about hairstyles, which sometimes we get caught up in the male-female stuff, but a lot of it is, let's not let things like that distract us from what we're doing here.
Right.
Coming before the Lord and worshiping him. So I think Jesus is making a powerful statement about that too.
Right. So what other stuff would you like to get into? Because again, I know that there's so much material here and there's so many different ways you can lean into it. What weren't you able to bring in for the service this week?
You know, I think one thing we didn't go very deep on is the initial context of what, I mean, Jesus is really saying something specifically to his Jewish brothers and sisters and to Israel, and maybe very specifically to the temple leadership, right? As you think about what's going on with the fig tree even, and we did point this out, but in the Old Testament, there's several passages where Israel's compared to a basket of figs or a fig tree or a vineyard. And so it's something that would have come to mind for them. And seeing that fig tree withered. And the next couple of chapters, Jesus is going to talk about the temple and talk about signs of the end times and kind of this coming to an end. And so there is, we can quickly kind of jump to our day and, you know, how does it apply in 2023? And we need to do that, of course. But I think there is that initial context of this was the chosen nation and they had a specific calling, right, to be a kingdom of priests and really to bring really heaven to earth through them, right? And the temple was the ultimate, as it were, representation of that. And so I think specifically too, I mean, we can get, and historically we've seen, we can get into trouble thinking about Jewish people or the nation of Israel and beginning almost kind of racist against some of that. And I certainly don't want to go in that direction. But I think Jesus here is talking, especially with the temple authorities.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones in charge of this space that was the holy space where God met his people and they worshiped him. And the way they're leading that, as Jesus will say later, is it's not pointing in that direction. Not only are they going to be the ones rejecting Jesus, but they're keeping others from meeting the Lord. And
well, that's especially poignant for us as people who are leading in the church.
Yes.
Both, you know, quote unquote professionally, but also even volunteers, you know, trying to make sure that we're not keeping these people out, that we're not, you know, keeping that separation active.
Absolutely. And that's maybe some of the application too. You think of Jesus' ministry and kind of, you know, the tax collectors and sinners. And but it's been true in our day. And I mean, humanly, sometimes you can understand why. But someone comes in and they kind of have a checkered past or they got something going on even currently.
Right.
You're like, well, I don't know if you can come but be part of this church.
Or you can come, but you might not be able to be involved.
Right. And so how do we usher people into the presence of God and have them have the opportunity to encounter Jesus? And, you know, of course, he's the one who can change our lives. The Holy Spirit can transform us. He's transforming all of us in faith. And so I think that sometimes is a struggle, right? If, you know, you're kind of keeping people at arm's length from Jesus, unfortunately, sometimes we can be skilled at that in the church. And that was, I think, some of what was going on with the religious leaders who kind of played this part like they were the holy ones. They were Pharisees, means literally set apart ones.
Right.
And Jesus in some way is saying, listen, you also need forgiveness of sins. You also, I have come to deal with this in you too.
Mm-hmm. And it was both personal and institutional.
Right. And so, yeah, the temple institution was a temporary piece. And God worked through that. And he drew his people, but Jesus has come. That was kind of the title of the message. Someone greater is here.
Right.
He's greater than the temple, and he can do what the temple and all those who are, you know, many who are leading faithfully could not do. So, yeah, that was a piece, too, and there's a lot there to explore to kind of the whole history of this hope, as we talked a little bit more last week about that. Mm-hmm. But that was one specific piece. Yeah, I don't know if there was something else. The fig tree always raises questions. I had a few people even the last couple of days that you know, why is he picking on the fig tree? You know, and commentators have talked about that over the years. Like, wow, this seems like, and you know, there's always some mystery there. I think Jesus is making a point. He's also thinking about, you know, he's got a plan here. He's got a purpose to it. He doesn't just do something arbitrarily. You know, his words, he's chosen carefully, I believe. And so he wants to communicate something about, again, what's going on, what he's come to do, and the need of that. Like, you know, like we said, sometimes you can look like you got this all in place, but you need some cleansing too. So
Well, and I thought it was interesting just the realization of the fig tree as an analogy for us as Christians and us as believers.
Yeah,
that's something that I never really knew about, and so I was one of those people who in the past was like, "What's with this tree? Why is he angry at the tree? Like, what did it?" You know, but just and also realizing like this tree was. It looked like it should be producing fruit. It looked like it should be in season, even though it wasn't in season. It had all the right signs, and yet was not what it looked to be. And I just thought that was really important to grasp onto.
Right. Yeah, if we look, we're, you know, here in Michigan in early March, and you look at some of the trees around us, now they're bare.
Right.
So you're not expecting, but yeah, if one of these trees had, oh, look at all these green leaves, you might expect to see, like, yeah, some of the fruits or the flowers coming with that. Yeah, that stuck out to me too, just that the appearance piece and what should be expected then, or what's that representing.
And so what might that look like then to, you know, if we were to see a church that like it looks like it's got all this going, whether a church or an individual, but just like what might that look like outside of that specific biblical context?
Right. Yeah, it could be a few different things, right? Some of it could be just physical space. Like we can look, you know, we made that point with the temple. Like, it was pretty nice. It was a huge space. And, you know, Herod had put a lot into rebuilding that. And so sometimes our physical buildings can be quite impressive and really look the part. And we have a pretty traditional-looking building here with a steeple. We got a bell. And it's like, oh, that's a church.
Right.
Or, yeah, you go to Europe and you see some of these cathedrals. And I've been to a few, right? And you feel like, wow, this is But that doesn't necessarily mean that what is taking place there is in tune, is fruitful, is,
sure, yeah,
is pointed to Christ where it needs to be. You sure hope it is,
right,
but sometimes the appearances, the outside, could be a bit deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's physically, but I think morally too. I think like the leaders in Jerusalem, perhaps we know how to put on, especially if we grew up in the church, we know how to put on a pretty good facade,
mm-hmm,
of this is what it needs to look like. I need to go to church. I need to do this. I need to dress this way. I need to even maybe say these things. And on the outside, if someone was just, you know, taking a little quick survey, oh, this looks great. You know, this person, they must be following Jesus closely, where maybe not. Again, you certainly hope the inside matches the outside. That's the
right
idea. But we can do that pretty well. And I know I can do it. I can go through seasons too,
mm-hmm,
where I can, you know, kind of be faking it, really. And just be kind of putting on what I know looks good, and really inside, you know, there's some things that need addressing. So yeah, and whole groups can do that too, of course, not just individuals. So it is for me an important reminder of, oh yeah, we can all easily fall into that. And that came clear to me looking back, like Jesus quotes Jeremiah 7,
mm-hmm,
you've turned this into a den of robbers. It's like, huh. Jeremiah gave the same sermon, who knows, you know, how many years before.
Yeah.
It's always been a problem, like, oh, we go through the motions, but...
Right. This is a generational sin issue.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a human issue. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just something we tend to deal with. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, incredible. Dan, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom and your thoughts and training with us. As always, super appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, thank you for spending time with us. This is an opportunity for us to all grow together and learn together, and we're super, super excited for this and excited to do this with you. If you have any questions for me, for Dan, for Pastor Tim, feel free to send them in. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. Goodbye.